Besides that logical, airtight argument that you just gave, support that with explaining the second law of thermodynamics and how it proves the existence of God.
Well, this is not an argument developed by Bible school teachers. This follows from one of the most fundamental laws of contemporary physics and engineering. The second law of thermodynamics says that in a closed system, the available energy will become less and less until finally you have no available energy at all. This is called a growth in entropy that finally results in heat death. Right? It is a generalized law of the universe. Now, for the atheist, the universe has got to be such a system because there's no God outside. The universe is all there is. It is such a closed system. But according to the second law of thermodynamics, it only takes a finite amount of time to reach heat death. Think about it. For the atheist, the universe is all there is, so it's always been around. It's been around for an infinite period of time. But an infinite period of time will embrace any finite period. So the universe would already have reached heat death if the atheist were right. Now, it evidently hasn't because there's enough energy left to discuss the question. So, we conclude that the atheist is wrong in his assumptions. One of two things must be the case, maybe both. The universe was created a finite amount of time ago and hasn't yet had enough time to reach heat death. Okay? God created it. And or there is a cosmic gas station attendant out there somewhere feeding energy. That's known as continuous creation by the theologians. But you've got to have creation. That's the point. You've got to have creation. The second law of thermodynamics insists on it. Go to Gordon Van Wylen's textbook on thermodynamics, published by Wiley and Son in Philadelphia, the scientific and technical publisher. Gordon Van Wylen was head of engineering at the University of Michigan. This is the most widely used text in thermodynamics. Van Wylen says, "My authors and myself must believe in God. We have no choice. Second law of thermodynamics insists upon this."
Okay, but if you have an infinite force, if you call this absolute God, how do we know this absolute is personal?
Well, is it more reasonable to think that the absolute is personal or impersonal? For one thing, notice that we have used our minds in reasoning to the absolute. Wouldn't it be strange if it required rational minds and personalities to engage in this argumentation, and when you finally arrived at God, he is non-rational? It would be more reasonable to assume that the reason that we are able to get there rationally is that he is a rational and personal being himself. Right? For another thing, in our experience, the impersonal does not give rise to the personal. You do not have birdhouses giving rise to birds. The personal gives rise to the impersonal. Human beings build bridges. Bridges do not turn into people. And so it is more reasonable to assume that the source of the universe is personal and rational than that the source of the universe is impersonal, that is to say, irrational.
In 30 seconds, why is it then, go back to the first thing that we said, why is the demonstrated God then best seen in relationship to who Jesus is?
The reason is that when we've used the contingency argument and we've used the second law of thermodynamics and we've talked in the terms that we have during this program, the best that we have arrived at is a source of the universe, a first cause, if you will, for everything. First causes are not sufficient for salvation. It says in the Bible that the devils also believe in God and tremble. In order to be saved, you've got to meet the God of the universe as Savior, as the one who has died on the cross to deal with your own personal problems and risen again to take care of the problem of death in your own experience. So, the best place to meet God is just where we said at the beginning of this program. Best place to meet God is God in Christ. God was in Christ, the witnesses say, reconciling the world unto himself. And he's capable of reconciling you personally to himself. But of course, it's up to you as to whether you'll let him.